We are looking to support a new missionary family, and we've taken nominations and others, and this is the family we would like to present to you. And they are coming, as I said, next week, next Sunday. They are based in Wichita, on the east side of Wichita. Nick has a lawn mowing business and other things that he is going to sell and move into full-time missions. Now, they have been with International Student Missions for quite a while. Rachel, if you would go ahead. They've been working part-time or as they're able with the international students. This is Nicole with a student from Germany. A couple more, please. This is a group from India. A lot of Indian students at WSU, and then one more. These are Iranian students who they work with. And so ISI, if you don't know much about them, they help international students from the time they hit the ground through their time at WSU. So helping them find housing and mattresses and advice on cars and Bible studies and worship and conversations. International students, really, they come without knowing anybody else. And, you know, that's what a lot of college students do, but when you're crossing cultures, that's another huge obstacle to overcome. And so ISI and the group Nick and Nicole work with help students with that. And Burns is very familiar with international students from Tom and Nettie and their parents and having international students around here too. So we are looking to support them, but we are presenting them to you, and then congregation, you will decide whether they become one of our church missionaries or not. But they'll be coming next Sunday, speaking in the service, and then with the potluck afterwards, I encourage you to talk with them and ask questions. Again, they're very, very friendly, just wonderful people to be with. So I hope you get a chance to meet them next week as they're here. This summer, again, we've been going through in our sermon series the essential beliefs of our faith. Those beliefs that are so dear to us that if somebody was to put a gun to our head and say fire or deny this or fire, we would say fire, okay? That these are the 11 core beliefs that are absolutely essential. Without these, we don't have anything to believe in. And so today is going to be part one of our next doctrine, our next belief. I can't wrap this all up into one sermon. Larry would kill me if I did, and he'll find out why here in a minute. But we're going to talk about it today, and then in 2 weeks, again, because the Holy Spirit can't be fit into 1 week. So, one of the things we are very familiar with in Kansas is wind, right? That's why we got a whole bunch of wind towers over in Marion County. But those of you who have lived here for any length of time, you know, this is a windy state. We don't have a lot of things to block it, so it just blows, right? Kids, what are some things you like to do in wind? When it's windy outside, what do you like to do?
Fly a kite.
Fly a kite. That's a great idea. Austin? She stole it, okay. Sometimes I throw seeds in the air and just let them blow. Okay. What else? Wind chimes. There were some huge ones at Branson that sounded like an organ. It was wonderful. Okay? Wind chimes? Yeah? Dude, they fly a lot in the wind, don't they? You hit it just right and they're gone. Okay? Good. So there are things we can do when it's windy. We don't have to complain all the time. Which I do. Anyway. But there are good things we can do in wind. And this week, I had to do some research because I asked Google the question, where does wind come from? Like, it just blows, but where does it actually come from? Well, of course, there's science behind this, but it stems from the Earth warming different and cooling different parts of the world differently. Okay, so out in the desert, when we're out there, it's really hot because the sand reflects the heat. Okay, so that warms hotter than Colorado does. Over a lake warms warmer or cooler than over sand, and grass and trees and topography and everything gets warmed differently. And these different pockets of hot and warm and chilled air, they create high and low pressure systems, and that's what creates wind. Okay, and we know that because anytime we watch the news and the weather, we see all these wind currents and barometric pressures and all that, and we see how the wind is going to come. Okay, and for fishermen, what is it? West is best? Is that how it goes? So we understand wind. Well, the Holy Spirit in Scripture is the word for spirit, pneuma, is the same for wind. And just like wind blows in Kansas from different directions and at different speeds, the Holy Spirit moves differently. It has some traits, some identifying marks that Jesus tells us. But one of the things that's wonderful about the Spirit is he works differently in each person at different times. And Jesus says to his disciples that it's good that I go so the Spirit can come. And I want to look at that this morning. But before we get to Jesus, I want us to understand that the Holy Spirit isn't just a New Testament phenomenon. He doesn't just exist from Jesus' point on. Okay? As a member of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, how long has he existed for? Eternity. Eternity past, right? It's not just been the Father, it's been the Son and the Spirit from eternity past, all together in this great relationship. Okay? And we see him in the Old Testament. Look at First Samuel. Whoops. This way. 1 Samuel chapter 16. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him, David, in the midst of his brothers. And the Spirit of the Lord rushed on David from that day forward. Okay. Now notice, the Spirit did not come on David when he came to Christ. The Spirit came on David when he was anointed to be king. Okay. In the Old Testament, the Spirit comes upon different people at different times, comes upon individuals more than communities. And it comes on not necessarily for their whole life. He might, but he might come on for a specific reason or purpose at that time. Okay, we read about this in Judges a lot. The Spirit of the Lord came upon Samson. The Spirit of the Lord came upon another judge. Okay? For that purpose, to deliver Israel at that moment. Okay? But just as the Spirit came on somebody in the Old Testament, it could also leave someone. So then the very next verse. Now the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and a harmful spirit from the Lord tormented him. Okay, I won't talk about the second half of that, but the first part. The Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul. Okay, when we went and saw David at Sight and Sound, if you haven't gone, it's well worth the trip. But the contrast between Saul and David is made so starkly. Between somebody who wants to follow the Lord and somebody who is so angry and bitter because his sin, he fell. And it caused the Spirit to leave. Okay, so what we see in the Old Testament is this. The Spirit comes upon certain Old Testament characters for a specific task, irrespective of their condition. Okay, think about it. The Spirit rushed upon Samson. Would we ever call one of our kids to say, I want you to be like Samson? He was strong, but what else was he? A fool. Huh? Yeah, he was born in no brains. And very little spiritual depth at all. I would not ask Alex or Drew, I would never say to them as an 8-year-old, I want you to be just like Samson. You read his story, you be just like him. Okay? You be strong, but you can get any woman you want. You're strong, but you can go anywhere. No. He is not a moral example we want to follow. But the Spirit rushed upon him anyway. Okay? So it seems to be irrespective of spiritual condition. Once that task was completed, the Spirit generally departed from that person. So there's not a permanence, it's very temporary. But in the New Testament, it changes. 1 Corinthians 3. Do you not know that you are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in you? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy him. For God's temple is holy and you are that temple. Okay? The whole reason Paul talks about our bodies as the temple of the living, temple of the Spirit, the temple of the living God, is because that is where the Spirit resides inside believers. And it's not a temporary indwelling. It's an indwelling from the point when we come to Christ to the point that we die. He stays. Okay? And that is incredible in a number of ways. Okay? I want to look at some of the roles of the Spirit this morning. Okay, from John 14 and John 16. What is it that the Spirit does? And this church, I think, God did a great thing the year before I came. Okay, Arlen had left, and it was a year, and why am I spacing on his name? I see his face in front of me. Wade Graber came for a year and taught on the roles of the Holy Spirit for the whole year. You know, what an education. Most churches, they get very little instruction about who the Spirit is. Now, for those who have come after Pastor Wade, I just want to hit at some of these this morning. The first one we find in John 14, 15 to 17. This is what Dallas read for us this morning. It says, if you love me, Jesus says, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. Okay? What are these passages telling us? What's the main point here? God dwells in his children forever. Okay? For our entire lives. Okay? And it's not I'm going to come for this period and then leave. No, it is, he is inside here. Where exactly? I don't know. But he's in here. Okay? He's inside of us and he will be with us forever. The idea of dwelling here is the idea of making a home, residing, residency. Okay? He is with us, always. Where can we flee from him? Nowhere. Okay? He is always in us, and it is, this is the reason Jesus says it was good for him to go so the Spirit could come. What's the advantage the Spirit has over Jesus? No? Doesn't have a physical body, right? Jesus as a physical person could be only at one place at one time. He's limited. The Holy Spirit is a spirit. Where can he be? Everybody, all the time. All the believers. Okay? And so the Spirit can indwell me just like he can indwell Julie, like he can indwell Clara, like he can indwell Dan. All at the same time. Okay? And yet speak to each one of us different. He is our guide and our comforter. Okay? That's why the Spirit is so important. Okay? Because we don't have to just try to figure out what Jesus said. The Spirit reminds us and tells us. Okay? So he is dwelling in us continually for our lives. John 14, verses 25 to 27. These things I have spoken to you while I am still with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Do not let your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. Okay, there's a couple here. Jesus says that the Spirit who will come, because he hasn't come at this point yet. This is before Jesus' death. But when he comes, he will teach you all things. Okay? And he will bring to your remembrance all I have said to you. Okay? How hard do you find it to remember things? Anybody here have an absent-minded memory? Okay, let's make it more practical. How many of you lose your keys? At least once a week. Really, I'm in that much of a minority. I'm the only one who loses my keys. How many of you misplace your phone? Hey, you're pointing at your wife. So, okay. Not pointing at your wife either. Okay? So what is that? Oh, yeah, okay. Well, let's get lost. We lose things all the time, okay? We can't find things. Where'd it go? Okay? She misplaced it. They're not lost. Man, you guys are all really good at rationalizations here. Okay? So, yeah, memories. And the older we get, the more absent-minded I become. Okay, God brought me a wife who remembers where she saw things. Okay, so memory is hard. You think about it, we read scripture, and then we don't read it again for months, maybe a particular passage. Okay, how much are we going to remember of that passage we read?
Very little.
Thank you. Not much. Okay, those passages we read more often, we'll remember more of, okay? But we need help to remember, okay? And that's what the Spirit does. It says, He will bring to remembrance all that I have said to you, okay? How many of you, when you've been out about doing something, all of a sudden a Bible story or a passage come to mind? Has that ever happened to you? Yes. How? Okay? A random thought, my hot dog I had for supper, all of a sudden brought the story of Jonah to mind? No. It's the Holy Spirit who brought that passage to mind at that moment. And He doesn't do it randomly. He does it with intention, with purpose. Okay? I love the story of the parable Jesus tells in Matthew chapter 8. Okay? It's one that I grew up singing the song to, and most of you did too. The wise man built his house upon the rock. The wise man built his house upon the rock. Okay, what's the point of that parable? Does anybody know? Jesus says, it's Matthew 7. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does them, will be like a wise man who built his house on a rock. Okay? Everyone who hears these words of mine and does them, who hears these words of mine, who remembers these words of mine and does them. Okay? Who is it that brings to our mind what Jesus has told us? The Spirit does. All the time. Okay? This is one of the great traits that He does. Okay? Peace with you. My peace I give to you. That is the peace that Jesus gives, but who keeps it flowing? The Spirit does. Okay. The Spirit does that. Okay? And so, not only does He bring things to mind, but He gives peace. There's some more. We go to John 16 now. Jesus says this, I tell you the truth, it is for your advantage if I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you, the Helper being the Spirit. But if I go, I will send Him to you. And when He comes, He will do these things. First, He will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Okay? What is conviction? It's a sense from the Holy Spirit that an act, a thought, a will, something that you did, said, or thought displeased the Lord. Or something we need to do. Okay? It is not guilt. Guilt is condemning. The Spirit doesn't condemn, the Spirit convicts. Okay? And He's like, You ever have this feeling? You think about something, all of a sudden God goes, The little check in your gut is from the Spirit saying, this is something you need to take care of. This is something that wasn't right. This is somebody you need to go talk to. This That is the Spirit. Now, he also does that with unbelievers. How is it that a person comes to faith in Jesus? Is it because they reached out to Jesus or Jesus reached out to them? It starts by Jesus reaching out to them. Now, how their human responsibility and divine sovereignty play together, I'm not going to try to explain to you. But it's the Spirit, I believe, that reaches out, and the person comes to Christ. How does the Spirit reach out? Oftentimes by convicting a person of sin. Okay? By saying, look, this is your life, this is where you're going. This is not going to end well. Okay? You need Jesus. And then that person starts on the journey to Christ. It is the Spirit's working to convict. Now, what's the problem we have in our world? People ignore it. Or they suppress it, Romans 1 says. Okay? Romans 1 says people suppress the truth because they don't want to be held accountable to it. And so you'll have people who will, you will see God is trying to nudge you toward Jesus. That is what God is doing here. And they go, no, he's not. I refuse it. I'm not going to, no. It is possible to suppress the conviction. Okay? But that's what the Holy Spirit does. It removes people toward Christ. Okay? So he convicts the world concerning sin and righteousness. Excuse me. Of righteousness, of doing those things that are all to the Lord. And judgment. Okay? That is another trait of the Spirit. There's some more here. John 7, 16, 7 through 11. He says, I tell you the truth. Whoops, that's the one I just read. Let's do this one. Concerning sin, because I do not believe in me. Concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father, and you will see me no longer. Okay. It's interesting that Jesus is going to go, and he's telling his disciples that you will not see me longer. The Spirit is going to take my place. There's going to be a transition here. Verse 12. I don't know why I didn't copyright. Let me read it here. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All the Father has is mine. Therefore, I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. So the Spirit of God will lead us into all truth. One of the things that's been on my mind recently has been a lot of the gender ideology and the confusion I've seen. Okay, I told Sunday school this morning, but we were in Branson. I saw transgender individuals there. We were out on the East Coast at Busch Gardens, saw many gender-confused people there, some that just broke my heart. How do they know what is true? Unless God reveals it to them, what is true? That they can be comfortable in how God has created them to be. Okay. Other issues. What do we do in this situation or in that? We're confused. Okay. What is God? What does Jesus promise the Spirit will do? Will lead us into truth. Not just truth about salvation, but truth about life. Truth from Scripture. Truth that applies to all sorts of situations. That's what the Spirit does. And sometimes what the Spirit says is different than what I want to say. Because I think this is right. But over time you learn to go, okay, wait a minute. This is my thought, not God's. I should probably stop and ask what the Spirit wants. Or what, or where the Spirit is leading. Okay? And so we stop and we ask. Okay? Because the Spirit is the Spirit of truth. Okay? Not only that, but he will declare to you the things that are to come. Okay? There will be a judgment. There will be Christ's second coming. There will be all of this. Okay? And Jesus says the Spirit will help us to understand those things. Will declare those things to you. Okay. And he will glorify me. This is fascinating. The Spirit does not say what he wants to say. He says what the Father says. And so it proceeds from the Father through the Spirit. But the Spirit's job is not to glorify himself, but to glorify his Father. Same thing Jesus said. My job is to glorify the Father. And so he is not in this for himself. He's not concerned with himself. He's simply concerned that the Father be glorified. Now, when did the Spirit come? Hey, Jesus had told the disciples all these things would happen. And if you look at John 14 and 16 in context, if I'm a disciple at that moment, I'm having a really, really hard time. Because in chapter 11, Jesus raises Lazarus. And at the end of chapter 11, we see the Pharisees want to kill Lazarus. And we've already seen that everybody wanted to kill, the Jewish leaders wanted to kill Jesus back in chapter 5. But chapters 12, 13 is the Last Supper. 14, Jesus starts teaching, and he teaches his disciples, I'm going away. I'm going to die, and that means I'm leaving. There's going to be a transition. And he does it, he even says, I do this in figures of speech, but now I'll speak plainly. And the disciples are like, good, you're speaking plainly now. Okay. But he is going to die, and he is going to leave. And if I'm a disciple, I've been with him 3 years. My whole identity is wrapped in Jesus. My ministry is wrapped in Jesus. All of this. What do you mean you're leaving? Okay. How many of you love transitions?
Depends on the transition.
Depends on, but you love it when things change. No? Well, good. You're all normal. No, I don't know. But I don't like transitions either. My wife handles them much better than I do. There was a point when she actually really enjoyed them. Strange lady. That's okay. But I don't like transitions. You think of it as a church. Your pastor leaves. You move on to another pastor. That's a transition. That's a hard move. Okay? The disciples here are being forced. Jesus says, I'm leaving. And there's going to be a transition. This Holy Spirit is going to come. Now, what is he going to do? It's not me? I don't know. The Holy Spirit is going to come, and it's going to be different. And it's okay. It's good that I go. But if I'm a disciple now, I am very nervous. What is this? How is Jesus going to go? What's it going to look like? What's going to happen to us? Okay. Well, Jesus dies. We know this. The disciples run away. But then Jesus comes back for 40 days. And for 40 days, he teaches. And then at the end of the 40 days, we get to Acts chapter 1. And Jesus says, it's finally my time to go. And his last words to his disciples are these. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And when he had said these things, they were looking on. He was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. What are his last words to the disciples? The Holy Spirit will come. Basically, wait for him. And when he does, you will go all over the world with the gospel. Okay? Jesus leaves, and there's this bit of transition point between Jesus being gone and his Spirit comes. And if I'm sitting in that moment, I am very nervous. What is this going to look like? I don't know if I have the strength to go on. I don't know if everything that Jesus has said the Spirit will do, he will do. Okay. But what we see in the book of Acts is the Spirit moving. And it shouldn't be just Acts of the Apostles. It should be Acts of the Holy Spirit because of what he does. Okay. And that's the power I want to look at in 2 weeks. But for today, I want us to recognize a couple of things. One, the Spirit indwells all believers. We have him. If we are a believer in Christ, we've asked Jesus for forgiveness of our sins and trusted him as Lord and Savior. The Spirit is living inside of us. Doesn't matter if I'm 5 years old. Doesn't matter if I'm 50. The Spirit lives inside and He guides. What does He do? He leads us into the truth. Okay, He reminds us of what Jesus says. He convicts us of sin. Okay. Why does He do all these things? Because He cares and He loves for us and He doesn't want us to stay where we are. He wants us to continue to grow, to be sanctified, to be clearer and more clear and more clear images of Christ. Okay. That's the Holy Spirit's goal. Okay. And that's what Jesus promised He will do. What we'll see in 2 weeks is how He does that. Okay. Through the book of Acts. But be encouraged today that the Spirit lives inside of you and He is always working. He never stops. And that's a great thing that God does for us. Lord, thank You for Your word this morning. Thank You for the truth of the Spirit. I admit I do not understand Him totally. I don't understand You totally. But Lord, I know You have chosen us, that You love us, that You have a calling and a purpose for us. And that part of that is to grow in Christ-likeness, and part of it is to share the gospel. And Spirit, You help us to do both of those things. So we pray, Lord, this week that You would work inside of us, in our attitudes, in our interactions with others, in our reading of Scripture, in the things that You bring to mind from Scripture, in the words of Jesus. That You would bring all of that to our mind this week, so as we go through our work time at work, at home, with our kids, responsibilities at church, with problem solving, whatever it is, we would go through those things with the words of Christ floating in our minds and our hearts. Lord, and through that, we'll be able to share the love of Christ with others. And so we give You much thanks. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.